All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. I'm your co-host, Bryce, as always, joined by my good buddy over on the other side of the country, Rain from the great state of Florida. How are you doing, Brendan?
Bryce, I'm doing fantastic, as is the crypto markets. I'm hyped up. I'm stoked. You're probably going to, if you're a listener, you're probably going to notice that today. I got a little bit of extra oomph, a little bit of extra pep in my step, but for right reasons. You know, the crypto market is doing fantastic, and it looks like we're just going to continue into a great next year as well.
Yeah, couldn't have agreed more. You know, we got a great episode, a great guest for everybody. You guys have heard from other folks at Maple before, but we're joined by the head of growth for Maple, as well as Syrup, which is their newest token. It's their newest platform. And so we're bringing on Martin de Reich. Martin, how are you doing today?
Amazing. Couldn't be doing better. Fully feel Brandon's emotions there. You know, it's extremely exciting to be in crypto right now. Just battling for 4 years, but it's, you know, finally paying off.
Yeah, it was quite an uphill battle over the course of the past, like you said, 4 years. But looks like we're into this golden age now of crypto investing, and we've got a new sort of president over here in the States that is hopefully going to be rolling out some great regulations and clear things up for folks. And I know crypto's global, and so even if he lost and, you know, crypto died in the U.S., it would still thrive elsewhere. That's the great thing about crypto. It's like a hydra. If you cut off one head, there's going to be seven heads that grow in its place. It's truly unstoppable. And so it's great to see over here in the States, everybody embracing it. And we've heard about Maple, but Syrup is something that we haven't heard about. And so what is Syrup relative to Maple?
For sure. Excellent question. So yeah, Maple is really institutional lending, right? So we issue institutional loans to borrowers. And then, you know, they obviously pay yield, and then we pass the yield to lenders in a variety of different products that we call pools with different strategies. It's pretty much all over collateralized lending, right? So it's quite safe. And it's all available to institutional allocators or, you know, accredited investors. Now, that obviously limits your space of users, right? So we also wanted to tap into the other market, which is really, you know, the DeFi natives that obviously protocols like Aave, Maker, and others tap into. So then we, you know, last March, we came up with the idea of Syrup, right? Finally making, you know, Maple complete and adding the Syrup to the Maple. And Syrup is really focused on that DeFi native audience. So it's the same institutional yield, right? It's still issuing loans to institutional borrowers. But then it's available for everybody, you know, permissionless, and you can get allocated in one click. It has gotten off to a really strong start. So that's now been live for about 4 months. It has, you know, gotten 300 million in TVL, and it's, you know, growing very rapidly month over month. And then as the cherry on the cake, we also launched the Syrup token yesterday. And the Syrup token really unites, you know, Maple and Syrup. So it's not just for Syrup, it's really for both. So it's migrating over from, you know, the MPL token. And the exciting thing is that we actually launched staking, where folks, you know, can stake their Syrup and they get access to, you know, of the growth in the ecosystem through staking rewards.
So to clarify this, this is, instead of a rebrand, this is kind of in addition to Maple's ecosystem, so to say. Whereas Maple might have been a little bit more for the institutional side and those larger investors, and Syrup is essentially bringing those staple features that Maple already had, those existing features and services, and then kind of repackaging that and making it available for the everyday, more retail side of investors, right?
Correct. That's spot on. And, you know, as you can imagine, both of those groups really require completely different things. Right, institutional investors are looking for a lot of documentation and KYC, and they want to sign legal docs, and, you know, they want to sort of have, you know, at least 5 due diligence calls before they will start to do a test deposit. Those are long sales cycles. You know, it's a very different user. It requires a very different sales process and even a different product, right? They want to have 20 different tabs with all of the risk metrics and, you know, really be able to dive deep, as well as having sort of a vast selection of different pools. So we have different pools with different duration profiles, different risk profiles, you know, different yields, obviously, available on Maple. And then Serap is a much simpler product, right? So it will still tell you, you know, sort of the loans and the interest rates, and all of the collateral is verifiable, right? All the loans are backed up with collateral, which obviously, you know, makes them quite safe, right? Because we always have the collateral to liquidate, you know, in case the borrowers wouldn't repay. But yeah, it's just a much simpler product and really tailors to that audience. Yeah, that's the exciting thing really about us. It makes us unique, is sort of tapping into those two massive, you know, distribution arms.
And will the Maple token stay around, or is the goal like kind of to get every Maple token over to Serap? How is the two tokens sort of system going to operate?
Exactly. Yeah, so indeed, all the Maple tokens will migrate over to Serap tokens. So that process has started yesterday, and currently about 25% have already migrated over. So that's quite a lot in one day. And actually, of that 25%, 17% of it is actually staked.
Wow.
And most of the rest is on exchanges, right? So about 91% of the Maple tokens that went over have staked on chain, which is, wow, you know, incredible, and sort of shows, you know, how excited the community is for staking. But it's indeed, the Maple token will really phase out, which, you know, it might take a year or two, right, before it you know, everything migrates over. There's obviously some people that might have forgotten about their tokens, but, you know, we expect that in the next month or so, most of it is, you know, going to be migrated over.
And then, and two kind of questions or thoughts on that. You know, how do you incentivize folks to like kind of come on over to Serap? Like what's the pull, right? Because I know when Maker tried to do this rebrand to Sky, and they were like, hey, like everybody turn your Maker tokens into Sky. Nobody did it. And then they're like, well, do we rebrand the rebrand? Like what's going on? And so I guess the first question is like, how do you incentivize people to come over? Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to lead into the second question, which is like, what's the staking rate for Serap? And maybe that's actually the incentive.
For sure, for sure. Yes, so I would say there's two things. One is obviously the staking rate, which currently is about like 14% or so. Last time I checked.
Wow.
Which is good. And then the other thing is like, don't leave a choice, right? So Maker, obviously, they sort of left the choice and they were like, hey, do you want to stay? Do you want to go? Like, it's your choice. And for us, it's really like MPL won't exist anymore at some point in time, right? Like, it's really Serap is the new token. And that's really what unifies the ecosystem. And if you want to participate in governance, if you want to get access to staking, and all of the liquidity is also going to be in the Serap token, right? Mm. So, you know, there's a Uniswap pool, it's on exchanges, you know, Maple is delisted on most of the exchanges. So, you know, it's really, you know, you sort of have to go with Serap. You have to go where the liquidity is.
And I think Maple still trades like on Coinbase, right? Like MPL, right, the token, I think I still saw this morning, it's still trading there. But at some point, since there's not going to be any activity on that token, they'll probably just delist it or something like in the future. Is that what you're saying?
Right, indeed. So as of right now, I mean, it's obviously a moving target, but as of right now, Maple still trades on Coinbase. But we're working through the Serap listing with our team as well. So awesome. That is the expectation. That you know, on Coinbase, it's all gonna be the Serap token.
Could you tell us a little bit about how the yield is generated? I think everybody, you know, was like, oh, 14%, like APR, that's great. Where's it coming from, right? And a lot of the times, there's that meme in crypto. It's like if you're asking where the yield is coming from, you are the yield. But where is it in this circumstance?
For sure, for sure. Yeah. So I think it's important to obviously differentiate between like the USDC stablecoin yield and the staking reward yield, right? So like the stablecoin yield, of course, all comes from the loans that we issue, right? So that's just companies, you know, institutional borrowers paying for those loans for, you know, sound business reasons, right? Like they might borrow at 12% or 15%, and they might actually deploy it out and, you know, make 20%, right? That's obviously like a good decision. Now, on the staking reward side, ultimately, it comes from the same source because we obviously make fees as a protocol, right, on those loans. So we'll take, you know, a portion of all the interest paid and that goes straight into the treasury. So you know, at this moment in time, we're still using tokens like from the treasury, right, that the treasury owns. And over time, as we grow revenues, right, the community can vote on token buybacks and then issue those out as staking rewards. So that's the ultimate vision for the program, is that it really comes from buybacks with, you know, protocol fees generated, you know, on the business activity on the platform. And, you know, again, the token holders can vote on, you know, the size of those buybacks and when those happen.
So when it comes to the yield that's being generated here, I was doing a little bit of digging, and I saw that it was dispersed between 9% USDT, 9% USDC, and then there was drip rewards. So, you know, most people are familiar with, you know, the two largest stablecoins, USDC and USDT, but what are drip rewards and what kind of role do they play here?
For sure. That's a great question. So, indeed, so most of it is indeed the native yield that you mentioned. And then drip rewards is sort of the bootstrapping mechanism, you know, to really get it off the ground. And they are essentially token incentives on top, right? So it's a points program. What makes it a little bit different and, you know, potentially more exciting is that, you know, it's very clear when you're going to, you know, sort of get your tokens allocated. So we basically have, you know, seasons which last 1 month. And at the end of the month, you know, for whatever amount of drip rewards you you got, you're going to get your syrup tokens allocated, which, you know, then become claimable at some moment in the future. So you basically know at the end of every month how much syrup you receive. Syrup is obviously trading already on the markets, right? So you have then an implied APY that you get in your position. And that makes it more exciting, where with other programs, you might be locked in for many months. You have no clarity when, you know, you're going to receive your tokens. And here that's, you know, just extremely clear. And it's also short term, right? It's on a monthly basis, which, you know, really helps as well. So I think that's a big reason for, you know, for the growth as well, is that that's really excited folks. And that also then enables things like Pendle markets, right? So we launched on Pendle, quickly scaled that pool up. And, you know, we're potentially looking to launch more pools there as well.
Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I'm just curious to kind of get your thoughts. You know, was this syrup token launch, is it just a coincidence that it launched right after sort of Trump got elected and there's this big, you know, push for, you know, now we could have DeFi coins with cash flows and now we can have, you know, I don't know, the security pseudo-like securities with crypto that are trading all over the world? And or has this just kind of been planned for a long time? And then, like, to dovetail off that, You know, what are your thoughts on like how DeFi regulations like kind of might change and like how that might affect tokens positively?
For sure. Great question. So, yeah, so initially, you know, the token was blue, right? And then we sort of made it orange, like right after Trump got in office. So, you know, it was definitely, you know, semi-planned, right? So obviously we didn't plan it all the way back in June. The election wasn't as big of a topic. But when we locked in the date, you know, sort of in October, we very carefully picked this date, you know, right after election and then 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, right? Like if you sort of launch a token in December, I mean, everybody's going to be in holiday mood anyways, right? It's really hard to to get attention. So it was a conscious decision from that perspective. Of course, we didn't know which way the election would go. Of course, we expected if Trump would win, that it would be positive for prices and fundamentals, right? Mainly, that's obviously what leads to it. So yeah, we're very excited about the momentum and, you know, very happy about this moment in time.
And, you know, what do you think that clear regulation can do for the crypto space? Because, you know, like Bryce was just saying, a lot of DeFi focused projects have been kind of sitting on the sidelines and waiting to do a lot of things. You know, Uniswap's a great example of this with profit sharing. And I know that there's been so many other projects that are a part of DeFi or tokenization, you know, very much like yourself, that have been a little bit nervous to act and be maybe more innovative because there's the fear that the SEC and Gary Gensler might come after them. You know, maybe they do something that they're not supposed to. They're not sure what that silver lining is. So I think looking forward, the big question is, you know, what does clear regulation mean for the crypto space? And, you know, is DeFi going to be something that benefits from that?
For sure. For sure. Yeah, there's no doubts that DeFi is going to benefit, right? On, you know, a whole variety of different levels. I think the most important thing that we're looking out for is really stablecoin regulation, which is also the most likely to happen in the short term. Because basically what that's going to mean is that, you know, stablecoins is like the key input to our business, right? So if you have regulation for that and more folks can use it, then more folks can use Maple and DeFi in general. So I think that's sort of the key thing we're looking out for. Then the other thing we are already seeing is institutional adoption, right? Which is very important for Maple. And we already see more institutions reaching out, institutions, you know, just that we are already talking with are, you know, re-engaging, accelerating things. So even without any regulations passed, you know, I think the risk appetite of everybody is just higher. Because, you know, people see a clear path forward and sort of, you know, see where the puck is going, right? And people don't want to be left out. So I think that's another one, is that it's really going to accelerate institutional adoption, especially in the States, which is then going to lead to, you know, an acceleration globally, right? Because typically the US is just leading in old technologies. And then, you know, a year or two later, like Europe will follow and the adoption there will follow. So I think that's key. And then the other thing is Syrup right now, for example, is not available in the US, right? We geo-blocked the US. So it's very interesting to see who are going to be the first apps that are going to allow the US to come in, right? And not geo-block it. Like I personally haven't seen one yet do it, but I'm sure there's talks and rooms about it, right? And I know that we have spoken about it internally, right? Of like, okay, what does this mean? So it's probably once of those apps is going to do it, you know, you're going to see a lot of others follow, right?
So, oh man, I can't wait. That's like, I think we're probably going to have like some kind of live stream popping champagne celebrating when that happens. It's going to be a domino effect. It's going to be like, open up the floodgates. DeFi is legal in America and it's ready to rock. And guess what? I mean, I use legal in quotations because it already is. It's just right. It's just like, it's all muddied up with SEC. But freaking Trump launched a DeFi platform. Like, you got to understand, like, there's such a disconnect when people are thinking like, oh, you know, it's going to stay offshore and all that kind of stuff. It's like the president-elect like literally launched an Aave fork called like World Liberty. It's like, so I don't think that it's going to, you know, I don't think it's going to take too much time before we have that big champagne live stream. And we'll invite all the different DeFi apps on. That'll be a lot of fun. But I'm really hopeful. Were you gonna say something on that?
Yeah, well, you know what I was about to say. What we should do is like we should just come together as all DeFi apps and just all do it at the same time together.
Dude,
with
you. Yes. Okay. Let's get that. Let's get that going. Let's get that viral. Clip it.
Inauguration day. You know, we all switch on the access for everybody. I mean, it's not a bad idea. Like, if everybody does it at the same time. So I agree. So it's
storm
like
the beach.
Users. Yeah.
Let's storm the beach. I'm with you. Hey. So I was gonna say, like, outside of Ethereum, because I know you guys are built on Ethereum. Obviously, it's Solana is getting really big. Sui, I've seen lots of, you know, DeFi actually start to pop up on Bitcoin. What's your roadmap look like? And as kind of the head of growth, are you interested in exploring those options? Where do you kind of think that kind of growth is going to come from there?
For sure. Yeah, so it's a very timely question, because I would say, you know, the incentive wasn't much there until this week, right? Like, mm-hmm. Only this week we really see gas fees just spike tremendously on Ethereum again.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we sort of, I think we all forgot about gas fees.
We were lulled into a sleep.
Exactly. For 2 years, but, you know, here they are again. So for us, next is Base.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, one that's definitely coming soon. And then, you know, we're also looking at other Ethereum layer twos, right, that are sort of easy to launch with, you know, probably Arbitrum and Optimism are two good ones. I would say Solana is one that we are very interested in, but obviously the tech stack is a bit different, right? So it's a bit harder to go there. So you either need to develop like a new product, or you can go with like bridging solutions, but it's all a little bit clunky, right? And you haven't really seen any, you know, big Ethereum player go there and be like massively successful, right? It's really mainly the Solana apps that are very successful at the moment. Yeah. So we are monitoring that very closely. And you know, we're excited to see, you know, one of those apps really dominate like across, you know, different chains. And then Sui, I would say, is probably a bit further out there for us at the moment. For us, it's obviously, you know, we are sort of looking for capital that is, you know, has a longer term view, that is looking for yield, right? So it's not necessarily looking for the next meme coin. You know, it's a certain type of capital, right? And that capital at this moment in time exists mostly just on Ethereum, and then like Base and Solana.
Yeah, and then I just had a kind of a random follow up. But what do you see in the data that people are using these loans for? Are they borrowing money on chain to go long, to go short, to go like take that off and like, you know, go buy like a house or something like? What are people actually using these funds for on the platform?
For sure. Yeah, so it's indeed a lot of institutional crypto borrowers that have, you know, sophisticated trading strategies, arbitrage strategies. You know, they could do the basis trade. They could potentially loop it up in Athena. Mm. You know, they could, for example, you know, we have folks that are borrowing against LBTC, and they might, you know, buy more LBTC, right, and sort of, you know, increase our exposure that way. So it's mainly crypto native borrowers, you know, that have like trading strategies. Then we also have some OTC desks, prime brokers, you know, that will use it to, you know, sort of grow their business, right, and use that capital to get more clients and grow. And we got some exchanges too, right, that also then use it to provide margin to their customers, or just, you know, general marketing growth, you know, operational efforts. So I would say we are really financing the crypto economy. So the more, you know, sort of crypto companies exist, you know, the larger they get. Fiat on-off ramps, you know, could be a great customer for us as well. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as folks are holding a big bag of like Bitcoin or ETH or Sol or other assets, right, that they can use as collateral, that they just have a long-term view on, they can unlock financing against it. And you start seeing more and more companies do that, right? They just have a Bitcoin stack. You know, like, why would you sit on like, you know, $100 million in cash, right? It's better to, you know, similar to MicroStrategy, at least have a large portion of it just in an asset that actually, you know, doesn't lose value, right? And it actually gains value over time.
Yeah, and I think that makes total sense. We're seeing more and more companies kind of adopt that mindset and that approach, because they've seen it be so successful and so tried and true. And, you know, as of this week, anybody who would have invested in Bitcoin at any point in history, doesn't matter if it was a week ago, a year ago, or 10 years ago, they're all sitting in profits. So I think it makes sense. And, you know, from an institutional side, to kind of bring us back there, because I heard you talking about this earlier, but Is it possible to have TradFi institutions use a DeFi platform like Syrup to maybe generate a higher yield than they're used to in their traditional methods? Because, you know, we look at what they're used to earning. You know, maybe it's a couple percent per year at the most, and they're satisfied with a yield like that. So I guess, do you think it's possible for them to use something like Syrup to get that higher yield? And if it is, like, what's the path to that, like, really just becoming a reality?
For sure. Yeah, so today, actually, Deutsche Bank released a report which was about institutions coming to DeFi, which, you know, is pretty fascinating, right? Such a big bang, yeah, releasing such a report. So to your point, it is definitely coming. There's no, especially now with interest rates going down, right? So I would say, you know, you've just seen, if you look to the arcs of, you know, crypto history, that whenever crypto interest rates go up, typically traditional interest rates go down, right? And the reason is that, you know, when traditional interest rates go down, then typically asset prices go up. And if asset prices go up in crypto, you know, the demand for borrowing increases, which increases interest rates in crypto, right? And so what we have seen now is that, you know, we have had 5% interest rates in America, and that has just really smashed down interest rates in crypto because there wasn't as much demand because prices were low. Now we see prices going back up, interest rates in traditional finance go down, and you see interest rates in crypto already rising, right? Athena right now is, you know, I think paying like 29% or whatever, which is the basis rate. And that's what borrowers will deploy into, right? So they will then borrow at higher rates. And so I would say, and that's only then going to increase interest from traditional finance, where 4 years ago, there was just very little, right? I mean, the rails weren't even really in place. There was no regulations. There was no Bitcoin ETF. You know, there was just not as much interest. But right now, I think this is really going to be the cycle where we're going to see, you know, real institutions in size coming into crypto.
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about something like this, you know, what would the allocation structure look like? Because I know that there's really optimistic people out there who are going to come in and say, oh, you know, they'd put 20% of their yield generation goals into something like this. But realistically, kind of the world that I see it is probably in a couple percent at first. We know that they like to have a lower risk tolerance, but if they're setting, you know, let's just say that an institution is setting aside $100 million and they want to earn a yield on that $100 million, I would imagine that they start off putting a couple percent of that portfolio in something like this to get used to it. And then as they can rely on it more, as they kind of see the consistency, they increase that exposure. Would you say that that's like accurate?
For sure, for sure. Yeah, so yeah, what we typically see is that these large institutions, they sort of have like innovation arms.
Yeah.
And they will start with, you know, a portion of their own balance sheet, you know, allocating into these things, right? So we have seen a couple institutions do that on Maple, right? Where they take some of their own capital and they allocate it into Maple, and they sort of want to test the pipes, right? They want to see how everything goes, you know, before really putting client money into it. And then, you know, once they have done that, and that's, let's say, the pilot phase, right? And the pilot phase has been successful. I mean, the pilot phase for these institutions is already massive money for crypto, right? Like these institutions, like they don't test around with a couple hundred K or a couple million, right? Like those are large ticket sizes.
Yeah, BlackRock comes in with like $1 billion fund. They're like, yeah, just getting our feet wet. It's like the biggest fund in crypto, you know?
Exactly. And then after that, you know, they'll probably launch, you know, sort of dedicated products for this, right? So they will launch like a dedicated crypto credit fund, for example.
Yeah.
And they will just give access to, you know, the high net worth individual clients, family offices, folks like that. And over time, they will open it up for their pension fund clients and sovereign wealth fund clients and corporates and, you know, folks like that. So that is really the way, you know, we see it develop. And, you know, again, we already now start seeing some of those institutions doing those pilot programs. And then, you know, that's really, I think, DeFi. And then, of course, you also have sort of RWA tokenization, right, which is, you know, BlackRock just launching, you know, a Biddle fund and, you know, other funds on different chains. And over time, just, you know, sort of moving, like the Biddle fund is also a pilot, right, for BlackRock. They're just testing out, you know, the rails, And because over time, their vision is that all of their funds are going to become tokenized, right?
Ooh, that'd be crazy.
That's really what Larry Fink said, right? He's like, okay, the first big trend was ETFs, right? Everything just goes into ETFs, which we have seen. I mean, most of the capital right now is passive, right, in traditional finance. And this, you know, the next big trend is tokenization, right, where all these ETFs and funds actually become tokenized on the blockchain, which is just going to, you know, ease everybody's access. And, you know, we see it ourselves. We don't need a 50-man operations team because all the calculations and everything is all done by the smart contracts, right? So it saves us a lot of time.
Yeah, I saw Franklin Templeton put out a report that basically said, you know, for 50,000 transactions, it costs them like $50,000 basically to settle that. And then for 50,000 transactions, like on some like a Solana or some Ethereum layer two, I think it was like $1.52, which I think the math turned out to be like 30,000 times, more efficient in terms of cost to settle things on chain. And Martin, I'm curious, what are some of the learnings that you guys have taken from 2022, from kind of, you know, that crazy period, FTX collapsed, Luna collapsed, you know, Maple went from like $60 to $5 or something like that. It was just a really crazy chaotic period, and not to single Maple out, every other token went down like 90%, but y'all had like loans extended, had to call capital back. Like, what were some of the big learnings that are now like built into the success of Syrup?
For sure. Yeah, that's an excellent question. So I would say there's really two learnings that we had. The first one is that back in the day, we had uncollateralized loans, right? So, you know, if a borrower wouldn't pay, you know, that would be a big problem, obviously. Right now, we have over-collateralized loans, right? So if a borrower doesn't pay, you know, we can liquidate the collateral. Or if the collateral value drops, you know, we will also liquidate the collateral. So that's, you know, obviously a massive protection we have in place for lenders. So that's really on the risk management side. And then on the other side, back then we also had a platform and a model which was more like Shopify, where we had external pool delegates, you know, running pools on the platform. And right now we really run our own pools. So we have Maple Direct that's running the pools, doing all the credit underwriting, which first of all means we double our fees, right? So we don't have to share fees with anybody else. So we have this much higher revenue. But it also means we control our own destiny. Right. And we can determine, you know, which borrowers are allowed on the platform and which are not. Because we did notice that, you know, during some of the hiccups in the past, you know, we were sort of blamed for some of those situations, right? While we weren't necessarily doing the credit underwriting ourselves.
Yeah, you know, what role do you think that tokenization has in all of this? Because, you know, I know some, you know, people come to us inside of our community and they really like what you all are doing because of RWAs and tokenization, and they look at it for a really bright future, as has really just been mentioning more frequently. But yeah, you know, curious to get your thoughts.
For sure. Yeah, so I really think it's what Bryce said earlier, which is it just makes everything, you know, 30,000 times cheaper. It makes everything globally accessible, right? So, you know, I hear from the Netherlands, can purchase exactly the same thing at the same moment in time as you guys, where in the traditional system, it's just not possible. And, you know, I think as sort of a retail consumer, you know, you're sort of used to all these fintech apps and like you don't really notice it. But there's so much friction in the traditional system and there's so much cost, right? Even like a simple credit card transaction costs you 3% for a merchant, which is just, you know, crazy to imagine. So I think it's you know, the efficiency, it's going to be very exciting. And then, you know, because it's more efficient, you know, which is reduces the friction, and because it's global in nature, it's going to unlock so much liquidity, right? Because everybody can buy these things and they're all going to be living in, you know, Uniswap pools or, you know, Aerodrome pools or, you know, whatever DEX, you know, it's going to be used. And the liquidity then unlocks borrowing, right? So you can suddenly borrow against the asset, and then that unlocks additional liquidity that you can then buy to reinvest. So I think it's gonna, you know, we actually did a vision piece on that the other day, Vision 2030 for Maple, And, you know, as all these things get tokenized, global access, liquidity comes, you can borrow against it, then that's just going to cause a massive economic boom, right? Because, you know, you can just imagine any asset you have around you, if that's tokenized and you can borrow against it, I mean, how much you could then reinvest that, you know, and grow the economy, start a business. Like, it's unbelievable, right? Like, if you have paid down your house, it's just, you know, let's say your house is worth $1 million. It's just $1 million sitting in bricks, right? Being completely unproductive. Imagine you could borrow against that, right? And invest in your business. I mean, that creates so much economic value. You know, I think we, yeah, it's just, it's very hard to imagine all the possibilities there, especially with a DOGA, you know, government agency.
I mean, 100%. 100%. I mean, it's super just exciting to be able to even talk about this. And it's funny because years ago, we'd look at something like this and be like, oh man, like we can't wait to get to a future where we have a lot of this is, you know, just possible. And fast forward, kind of jump in the time machine and here we are. And cryptos are getting adopted faster than I think a lot of people expected it to. And it just goes to show how much power is in the technology behind it, which I think is probably the coolest part of an interview like this, is that we get to see the intricacies and the details of how the technology, how blockchain is actually making all of this possible and how it connects the dots between the traditional like TradFi methods and then the new decentralized or DeFi methods. And there's really a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of capital that can be involved. And we, for one, are excited about the future. So, Martin, we appreciate you coming on here, giving us your expertise. This was a very highly requested podcast. So I know the listeners and the community are just equally as stoked. Where can people follow you? You know, they want to get involved. Maybe they need to merge their tokens. Where can they follow everything that Maple and Serap are doing?
For sure. Yeah, so... Yeah, also, you know, thanks for having me on. I was really excited to talk with you guys and, you know, love what you guys are doing for the space. You know, it's really important to energize people about the future, right? And make people believe and educate everybody. So it's really exciting. So, you know, if you have Maple tokens, right, go to serap.fi/convert. And it's a one-click process, right? It's easier than ordering something on Amazon. it's awesome. And then if you sort of want to see, you know, the latest, you can follow us obviously on Twitter/X at Maple Finance at Serapfi.
Beautiful. Martin, can't thank you enough. And everybody who's at home listening or on your way to work or wherever you are in the world, hopefully you enjoyed. Give Serap, give Maple a follow, give Martin a follow. And we'll see you guys back same time, same place next week. Martin, take care.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.